Welcome to the Misfit Stars podcast. I'm Shannon Curtis.
And I'm Jamie Hill. Hi, everyone. Hi, sweetheart.
Hi, honey.
How's it going?
A-okay.
Right on. Same. And hi, people. Welcome. We're so happy you're here. Later in this episode, we're going to be breaking down song 8 on Shannon's album, And Her Whisper Becomes a Storm, a song called Like Water. And we have a whole bunch of misheard lyrics for this one.
Oh, yeah. So, like, the last couple of songs, we didn't have any. This is going to make up for all of that. Like, there's so many, and they're so good. By which I mean they're bad.
But also, they're so accurate. Like, I'll say it, and then you listen to it, you'll be like, damn, he's right. That is what that says, actually.
And I'm glad we get to talk about this song, too, like, more in depth. So stay tuned for the second part of the podcast for that.
So, hey, before we go on, I want to say that Misfit Stars is a community-centered endeavor, and we would love for you to join us, and here's what that means. We have the Misfit Stars podcast. You're listening to it now. We have an associated Misfit Stars support community where people with small-dollar recurring monthly contributions help sustain the work that Shannon and I do. This podcast is a part of that. There's a whole bunch of other stuff. And you could become a part of that community.
You could.
Yeah. The best part about it is when you become a supporting member of the Misfit Stars community at misfitstars.com/join, I will send you an invite to the Misfit Stars private Facebook group. It's the best place on the internet. It's a place that Shannon and I have curated carefully from the very beginning to be a place where people are not just allowed but expected to be vulnerable and kind and supportive.
On the internet?
No, really.
Is it possible?
Well, I mean, it's a private place on the internet. And that's exactly why. Because if it were public, it would be like every other hellhole on the internet.
No kidding.
Just a dumpster fire everywhere you turn right now.
Yes.
But not the Misfit Stars private Facebook group.
We would love for you to be in it. You just go to misfitstars.com/join.
Yeah.
Join up with our monthly support group. And
by the way, when we say support group, we don't mean like AA or something.
Right.
Like you don't have to do a share.
It
you just have to give
like
money.
That. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is,
and
yes.
You can share if you want.
Both are encouraged, actually. Yeah. So join up with the Misfit Stars and we'll invite you to that discussion group on Facebook and it'll be great to see you there.
Yeah. It's a way we create community. It's also a way we support ourselves. You can do two birds with one wonderful stone. MisfitStars.com/join. And please, while you're out there doing Misfit Stars related stuff on the internet, why don't you stop by Apple Podcasts and quick leave a 5-star review and leave a 5-star click, I guess, and write a glowing review.
Rating, yes.
Rating's the word I was looking for. Thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So 5-star rating, glowing review. Thanks. It helps. So how you feeling today?
Oh, you know, so we're doing this pod at night. It's been a good day.
Yeah.
But I feel it because it's the end of the day. So I think I'm just feeling tired.
Mm-hmm.
We had a show earlier, which was wonderful.
It was
but,
great.
You know, like, after every show, I just feel a little bit drained because
sure.
it takes a lot of energy out of us.
Yeah.
So you know, I feel okay. Like I said, it was overall a good day. Every day is like, oh my gosh, what's going on in the world? And also, creating space for things to feel all right in my life. And today was one of those days where I had to kind of.
What we would call in 2018 a both at the same time experience.
Yeah, definitely.
Right? Both
for
are
sure.
true. Both are true.
Yeah.
They're irreconcilably different and at odds with one another, and they're yet both true.
Yeah.
Everything's on fire, and we had a good day.
Yeah. So overall, A-okay. How about you?
Pretty good. I'm actually kind of stoked today just because I just got this really wonderful new music gig super excited about.
Yeah.
It's great. I'm going to be mixing another record for my friend Chris Bathgate, and I just love working with him. I've worked with him on his records. Mm-hmm. I've worked with him on records he's produced for other people, and it's always just a wonderful experience.
Yeah.
He has a unique approach to orchestration and instrumentation. It's always not a cookie-cutter experience, but a very interesting musical experience.
Yeah.
And his songs are lovely. His voice is beautiful. It's all just very emotional and heartfelt. And it's wonderful. I'm going to have a great time doing it.
It's going to be great to hear those sounds wafting through our house.
Yeah, it's going to be wonderful. So yeah. I'm stoked about that.
So you're riding that today. That's like your...
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, you and I have been making a deck over this last week. we're done with the frame and the rafters, which is really, really exciting.
Uh-huh.
We finished that this evening.
Yes,
we managed to get 1 hour of work in before it turned totally dark.
Yeah.
Like, we were going to put the first piece of fascia on, but as we were measuring, I'm like, it just turned too dark.
I can't see. Yeah.
It just got too dark. It wasn't too dark when I pulled out the tape measure, but by the time I put it down, it was too dark. It was just right on that razor's edge. So the facial will go on tomorrow.
Yeah.
But it's exciting. It's really fun.
Yes.
It's fun to do with you. Oh, I'm having a great time.
Same. I love doing projects and it's fun. Like, this is the kind of project that because we're home this summer, we're able to do.
Yeah.
Because normally we'd be driving around in the wagon around the country and not home to do an outdoor project like this.
Yeah.
And it's really great to be able to do that because it's one of the upsides of being grounded from tour this year.
Turns out that you can actually make a deck for cheap if you don't hire two people to spend 40 hours making it. You know what I mean?
If you just figure out how to do it yourself. We have friends who are helping us, like on speed, a contractor friend specifically who's on speed dial for advice all the time. We love Brian. Thank you very much. And
Of course, because we don't know a single thing about anything that we're doing. I texted him at like 9:15 tonight. Like, hey, you got time for a quick question? He called me right back. And my question was, how do you hit a nail into a piece of wood? Like, because I do the nailing, right? Because I'm stronger, I guess. Is that why?
Yes.
I don't know why. Why
You're
don't you do nailing?
You're more muscular than I am.
Yeah, I offered to you.
I did one, and it took like twice as long as you take. So,
I got pictures, and they'll go on the internet. So people will be like, Shan does the nailing.
Proof.
Yeah, it's great.
It's proof that I did some nailing.
It
once.
Is. Yeah. But Shan doesn't seem to want to do it as much as I'm willing to. So I'm happy to do it. It's fine. I'm not very good at it, but I'm enthusiastic and the nails end up in the wood.
Yeah.
And, you know, the part that we've done so far is the part that will get hidden by the nice looking pieces of wood. It's the frame and stuff.
You were concerned about how to nail into like things you can actually see later on.
Yeah. Like the nails that matter. Because like I can't just hit it wrong and bend it off. Like you can't pull these freaking nails out. You know what I mean? They're like galvanized. They only go one direction. That's in. Maybe they come out. I haven't figured out a way. But I hope it doesn't come to it. But I'm also nervous. And also, like, I don't want to, like, do that last whack and then have there be, like, a round thing.
Like a divot.
The shape of the hammer around the end of the nail.
Yeah.
So first of all, he told me the coolest thing. He's like, he gave me a technique to, like, not do that. But he's like, if you do that, just put water on the wood and it will plump back up and fill that back out.
That's amazing.
Mind blown.
Yeah.
No idea.
Learning all kinds
but
of things.
But like that was my call a friend today. How do you hit a nail into wood with a hammer? So it's remedial
it's
over
basics.
Here, people.
Uh-huh.
But yet, despite everything, like the things that we do know how to do, Shannon and I, is we know how to do, generally speaking, a good job at things. By which I mean just going slowly, being careful. Like, you know,
Learning.
They say measure twice, cut once. We measure 6 times and cut once. And then like measure 3 times, go back, measure it again. Measure twice more, go to cut it. Second guess yourself, go back, measure it again.
Yeah.
And then cut.
Yeah.
But the cuts all work out. You know what I mean? Like, we're doing a good job. This thing is like super freaking square and super like even all the way down its length and width.
I'm astonished.
Same.
So anyway, it's fun. It's a fun project. It's like, it's fun to, I've never really built something.
No, we've only fixed or remodeled.
Yeah. Like we've painted and
we put in a floor. That's the closest
floor. Yeah,
that involved cutting.
This is the first thing that I've ever been involved in where there's like construction of a frame.
Yeah,
and so like it's really building something. Like,
yeah,
we could just build a house right out there. It's not the
we
deck,
have built the bottom floor of a small house just right now. That's what we just did.
I know.
Yeah,
the deck is not attached to our house. It's a floating deck out in the backyard.
No so, permit. Woo woo.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, like. We would need a permit for an actual house. But I'm like, let's just keep going. Put some walls on this thing. And
hey, I mean, if it's just like, because here's the thing. Like, what really is the difference between a deck with a pergola and a small house other than walls? Officer.
Totally.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Hey, by the way, I want to do a mom update. I failed to do one last week, and I apologize because it has become clear to me from conversations I had over the last week that I should have done one because people asked.
Yes.
Here's the deal. My mom is home from the hospital. She came home actually last Thursday, and she's doing great.
She had surgery.
Yeah, she had her surgery. She recovered from the surgery, and she's home, and everything's going fine. It's like she's progressed. Like you have to reintroduce food to your gut after you do that. So you start off with like clear liquids, and then when you've mastered those, you do non-clear liquids, and then like mushy food, and then non-mushy food. It's kind of like a baby.
Right.
And then eventually you get to like real food, and she's all the way up to having like multiple different kinds of items on her plate at dinner like a normal human again. My dad was just bragging today. So, yeah, and she sounds good. Like, I've been talking to him every day on the phone. And today, particularly, she sounded really just normal and good.
Oh,
she sounded
good.
Sprightly and cheerful, like always.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's great. It's a relief.
What a huge relief.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, she was bragging. She can get in and out of bed by herself. She can walk up and down the stairs unassisted.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Very good.
Yep. So she's doing well, people. We just want you to know.
Thank you all for your good thoughts.
Yeah. Thanks for your well wishes. Really appreciate it.
Yeah.
So, do you want to do music time or do you want to talk more? Or what do you want to
do? The only other thing I want to mention is that we voted today.
Oh, yeah.
Today was the primary election. We did our presidential primary back in February. But today was the primary for like every other office in the state of Washington and also for our U.S. Congress people, mm-hmm. congressperson. Not like, yeah, every congressperson's up every 2 years, of course. Yeah.
Right.
So, there's been a lot of conversation on the social medias about mail-in voting, about vote by mail. And I just want to tell you, moving to Washington State, a couple years ago, moved us from a place where we used to go into the polls in California, used to walk in, stand in line, wait for your turn, go to the little punching machine and punch your little card and, move on.
Get the sticker. That's the important part.
Yeah. But we moved to Washington State where it has been for years now an entirely vote by mail state.
Yeah.
And what's
coming
up
on 10 years, right? I think 10 years this year.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
What do you know? It works. And I just want to let you all know, it works.
Yeah.
It is a relaxed and safe experience to fill out my ballot in the comfort of and safety of my own home.
Yep.
I can do all the research and bubble in my little card and put it in the secure envelope and put my signature on it. There's a security envelope that goes inside the envelope that you mail. The state pays for the postage if you put it by mail.
It's barcoded. So even if someone did duplicate these, as soon as the first one was scanned in, none of the others with the same barcode would work.
Exactly.
It's like I saw a thing today that someone was like, well, it's just like if you go to the movies and you buy a ticket online, you could just Xerox that and give tickets to all your friends.
No.
Well, no, because as soon as they scan the first one in, then that barcode is done. And then none of the other ones would work.
Exactly.
And the mail-ins are the same way because they have the barcode.
Exactly.
And do you know that in Washington State, they do signature matching for 100% of the mail-in ballots?
Yep.
And they're trained by law enforcement, the people who do it.
Really?
I didn't know that. There's a science behind how to recognize and how to compare. There's certain things you look for.
Interesting.
People make characteristic types of angles and inflection points of curves. So you don't look at the whole thing. You just look at certain parts of it.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. It's like forensics.
Wow.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was easy to fill out my ballot here at home. I could have mailed it in as soon as I got it, which was like a couple weeks ago already. Yep.
But we waited till the last minute because that's how sometimes we roll.
Sometimes I roll that way. We roll that way, yeah. So we put it, actually, we were able to drop it off today into one of the election collection boxes.
Mm-hmm.
So you can mail it in, and the state of Washington pays for postage.
Yeah.
But also they have, in addition to the mail-in part of it, you can also just drop it off into a secure box.
So just drive up curbside.
Drive up, drop it in, and, they're collected by the election officials that way. Totally safe, totally easy. Now that it's in the system, I can actually... if I had saved my stub, I didn't save the stub, but I could have.
In the trash. We could go dumpster diving for it.
I could dumpster dive for the stub, but on the stub is the same barcode, and I can actually track my ballot through the system until it has been recorded in the election results.
Now, I know that there's people listening to this. Actually, probably not, because the kind of person who would think this probably doesn't listen to the Misfit Stars podcast. But people say a common thing is, well, as soon as you drop it off, they can tamper with it.
Nope.
Here is an interesting fact. From the moment the ballot leaves our hands, either into one of these secure boxes or in the mail, once it's received on the other end, as soon as it is touched by another elections employee, there are always two employees together at all times.
Amazing.
There's never one person alone with a ballot anywhere in this process.
Amazing.
To protect against that exact thing.
Uh-huh.
Now, I suppose it would be possible, theoretically, to turn another volunteer, right? So say that you're a volunteer and you have nefarious ideas about what you want to do with this. You would have to manage to convince the other randomly chosen volunteer who you paired with on that day. You'd have to manage to convince them to go along on your plot with you. You would have to do an immediate conspiracy, but you'd have no time to plan it. You couldn't work on the person over a series of days and months. You'd have to do it in minutes. You have to be like, okay, look, I'm going to do crimes. We have to do it together because we're paired together.
You know who could maybe pull that off?
Who?
Darth Vader. He could use the Force in a bad way to like mind control somebody.
Really, any superhero, probably.
Maybe, yeah. Huh.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Didn't think about that.
Didn't think about that, did you, liberals?
Yeah.
So didn't count the superhero angle.
Also, I read this really great in-depth article the other day about vote by mail in Washington that really broke down. I mean, you probably got some of your stats from this article,
facts
too.
Facts and figures.
Facts and figures. And, you know, one of the other things that was remarkable to me is the actual instances of voter fraud.
I know the percentage.
I figured you would, so I want to just like lob this softball to you. Jamie, how many actual instances of voter fraud have there been over the years?
I can do better. I can do percentage, Shannon. It's 0.00014%
of votes cast have been fraudulently cast.
0.014%.
Can you put that into some perspective?
So there are like what about 8 million people in the state of Washington.
Okay,
I think that's right. Let's just say, for example, that there are. Hell, let's round it to make it easy, right?
Okay.
Let's say there's 10 million people
let's
in the state of Washington. Let's say that, 7 million of them are voting age. So there's 7 million voting age people. Let's just say that.
Okay.
Let's stipulate
All
that,
right? All
right,
we're just saying that.
So we multiply 7 million times 0.00014, and then you divide that by 100. That's 9.8 people. But we'll round up. Let's say 10 people.
10 people
on the
on
the generous side.
Per 7 million. And that's people. And this is these are figures regarding votes cast, right?
Yeah.
Like these are not in relation to population. It's in relation to votes cast.
Yeah.
Right?
And so also keep in mind that if I screwed up the math on this by a factor of 100.
Uh-huh.
Let's just imagine that I have my decimal place in the wrong place and I screwed it up by a factor of 100. That would still only be 980 people out of 7 million.
But
it's just a freaking, it's not even a rounding error. It's something so much smaller than that. And that's 100 times bigger than the statistic.
And these statistics are also calculated. These have been, it's based on data that's been gathered over a couple of decades. So the number of people who have committed voter fraud over the course of the last like 30 years is very small.
Here's another piece of info on this.
Mm-hmm.
So the Heritage Foundation keeps a voter fraud statistic. They're keeping what they call a voter fraud database.
Okay.
Because they are, if you don't know, they're heavily conservative.
Right.
This group, the Heritage Foundation. And so they, of course, are invested more perhaps than other people might be currently in the narrative that there is voter fraud because that's what their guy is saying right now. And it's just tribalism. It's not fact-based for them, right?
Right.
And so so they have this database. Guess how many, and this is, by the way, this is a database going back 20 years for the entirety of America of reported voter fraud incidents.
Okay.
Take a wild guess at how many there might be.
I don't even know how to guess.
It's 1,250 something.
Going back 20 years.
Going back 20 years
for
in a country.
The entire United States.
In a country with 330 million people in
right.
it.
Right. So it's not a thing. Voter fraud is not a thing.
It is a thing. It is a thing.
It's just not a significant
but also,
thing.
Yeah.
It's
I mean,
not a significant enough thing to matter in any in any election.
No, if you, here's a great way to think about it based on their statistics.
Mm-hmm.
If the amount of voting is 100 miles, if the amount of voting that has been done in the United States over the last 20 years is 100 miles,
visualizing it as 100 miles, okay.
Uh-huh. The amount of voter fraud that's occurred in that time is 1/2 inch.
That's amazing.
So there's your visual.
That's a good visual.
A half inch out of 100 miles of voter fraud.
It's nothing. It's not a thing. I read in the article that I read about a guy that there have been a couple of cases that the state of Washington has caught people trying to register their pets.
Yep.
But here's the thing: they were caught.
Yeah.
Their votes, those pets' votes didn't count.
Yeah.
Like the system.
The pet didn't even get a ballot because they caught it.
Right, exactly.
Because they cross-checked this stuff. Here's the thing, people. If if your phone can serve you an ad for something that you mentioned 3 minutes ago in casual conversation to your partner.
Oh, no.
Have you ever had that happen?
Yes.
Shannon and I were visiting her grandma one time in the nursing home, and we talked about something that we would never, ever talk about in any other context when I had my phone out. It was like, we were talking about like Depends or something like that, like adult undergarments, right? Because we're in a nursing home. And like literally, we get out to the car from visiting grandma, I open my phone to check on something, and Facebook or something is open, and I scroll once, and there's an ad for Depends.
That's wild.
You know what I mean?
Okay, so your point, though?
If they can do that with data, hell yeah, they can figure out you're trying to register your pet.
Yeah. The point is it can be done safely. It is done safely all the time. And there is absolutely no reason that we shouldn't have national vote by mail available to everyone. Because the fact of the matter is that there have been a lot of states, particularly states who used to have to be more accountable to the federal government for their voting policies because of the Voting Rights Act. The Voting Rights Act, if you don't remember, was pretty much gutted by the Supreme Court a couple of years ago. And the minute that happened, these states that had a bad record in terms of disenfranchising voters got right back on the horse to disenfranchise voters.
Which is why the Voting Rights Act was there in the first place, to stop them from doing that.
Exactly. So, you know, a lot of these places have closed down polling places in neighborhoods that are populated predominantly by Black and brown people.
Like going from 100 polling places to 2.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Closing down places, reducing the number of pre-election voting days that are available.
Shortening the hours
and like tightening up the restrictions for who can and who can't request an absentee ballot, which by the way is the exact same thing as a vote by mail ballot. There have been some people trying to distinguish between the two. There's no difference.
That person is the president.
The
Let's just
same
be clear.
Thing. So the point is that everyone should have the opportunity as we in such a safe and easy way had the opportunity to vote from our kitchen table last night and go drop it off today. Everyone should have that opportunity. It would be the most fair way for everyone to have equal access to the voting booth.
Yeah, like you and I are really lucky because we can kind of arrange our days however we like. The only time that we literally can't do whatever we want at any time is when we have like a show or something, you know?
Sorry, I just poked myself in the eye with my microphone.
How did you even manage to do that? That's really amazing.
I'm so sorry.
That bonking sound. Anytime you hear a bonking sound on this podcast, by the way, people, it's Shannon. In fact, anytime you hear a bonking sound in this house,
it's me.
It's mostly, actually, I run my feet into some.
It's true,
sometimes.
You do. But then
is your
case,
eye okay?
I was gesticulating and I knocked my microphone. And it hit me square in the eyeball, and now I'm crying.
What's amazing is that you weren't even talking. You were just gesticulating. I was actually the one talking at that time. Jana was just sympathetically gesticulating.
I guess so. Okay, so you were saying, though, our schedule.
So because we work for ourselves, we can kind of do what we want, unless we have a show. But if we don't have a show, we can do whatever we want at any time. It's one of the few upsides to being self-employed in the arts. Flexible schedule.
Right.
But most people don't have that, and a lot of people work really hard, and a lot of people work jobs where they are like, maybe they work 2 jobs, maybe they don't have a car, maybe by the time they get off work the buses stop, like maybe they literally can't
get to the polls on the
maybe,
day.
Maybe their boss won't give them the day off because most people have shitty bosses because they work in crappy service economy jobs.
Yeah, or they've got childcare issues and they can't go to the polls because they got to pick up their kid from childcare. I mean, like, there's so many different reasons.
You and I are incredibly privileged, and most people don't live like us in that way. Most people are not incredibly privileged. Most people are barely getting by in this country.
Right. And we are seeing the ramifications of a government that exists when not everybody who can participate in the vote is able to participate. Yeah. We are living the result of that.
Yeah.
Our democracy, our society will function better when everybody who has the right to vote is able to exercise that right.
Yeah.
And so on that front, by the way, last week, John Lewis passed away.
Yep.
Who I got to hear speak once years ago.
That's so rad.
It's, you know, it's rad now. I wish I would have understood the weight of that experience at the time, but I was young and I didn't.
How old were you?
I was in my 20s.
Badass.
But, you know, I wish I would have known more about him when I heard him speak, but getting to just get to know his life story and his legacy over the last couple of years, and then obviously it's been celebrated a lot in the last week since he passed away, has been just really neat to get to know more about. Gosh, he was such an inspiring person. Mm-hmm. Worked his entire life for civil rights, specifically giving Black people access to the right to vote.
Yeah.
And there's been this push sort of since his passing to rename this new Voting Rights Act that's been going through Congress, name it for him and expand it to include new measures that would enfranchise more people in the voting process. And so if you feel like doing something in honor of John Lewis and in honor of mm-hmm. voting rights, you could call your congresspeople, your senators, and your House of Representatives member and ask them to support the John Lewis Voting Rights Act.
Heck yeah.
That's something that you can
do. Ask them to become a co-sponsor. Hell.
Yeah.
Great.
Exactly. So anyway, I hope we do better in the future on that front, giving more people access to the vote.
Hope springs eternal.
Yeah. Our experience was great today, and everybody ought to have that opportunity.
Seriously.
Yeah. So, hey, should we take a short break and then come back and talk about Like Water?
Oh, yeah. Can't wait.
Sounds good.
Okay. Bonnie Rosenthal hosted our concert today.
That's right.
Misfit star Bonnie. And she asked us on camera during her concert whether the podcast today that we were recording on the same day as her concert would be a split podcast.
Right.
Where we did the first part and then a show and then the second part, or whether we would record it all at once.
And we're doing it all at once.
Yep.
Yeah, it was a great show. Ugh. I loved that experience.
It was wonderful.
It was very wonderful.
Yep.
But yes, we are back. We're talking about Like Water. We've been doing this series of deep dives into each of the songs on this new record that we put out in June. And talking about the inspiration behind the song, sort of the meaning of the lyrics to us, and then also getting into some of the production. And when available, we also get to talk about Jamie's misheard lyrics, because this is a feature around our studio production time in the house is that I bring songs to Jamie and he totally misunderstands things that I have recorded.
Yep. It just sounds like a different thing to me.
And so he'll bust out with his misheard lyrics and they're hysterical. We haven't had one for a couple of weeks now.
Shannon articulated the last few songs pretty well.
But there are a lot of misheard lyrics for this song. So you're going to be in for a treat.
Shannon's vocal performance on this song was impressionistic at times, going more for feel than for accuracy. And that's valid. That's a way to do things.
It is. And also another feature of this song is that there aren't any repeated parts in terms of like the choruses are all different from each other lyrically. And so there are just more words in the song. So the more words there are, the more opportunities there are to mishear them.
That's true. That's such a good point. Yeah. And it's interesting. Like the first 2/3 of the song, I nailed it. I totally understood everything Shanna had to say. The last part of the song, things really fell apart for me. And so indeed, we'll play the song first and then we'll talk about it. Do you want to set it up first?
Yeah, sure. So, in the progression of this album and writing, each song sequentially, this is, we had tackled the ideas of, getting still and listening to that small voice inside.
Because remember, people, this is a concept album about the idea of doing the next right thing.
Right, right. So we had, done that song about listening and for that small voice and finding direction and understanding this is, the moment you got to make a decision about what to do. And then, your whisper of intention and then setting your first, step forward to put everything in action to, start walking forward toward this thing you're going to do. And that was last week's song, This Millisecond. And so when I finished This Millisecond, I realized that, now's the part of the journey where, we're walking forward on the path. What happens when we encounter resistance? That's the setup for this song is the idea of what do we do when we encounter resistance. And incidentally, this is the last song that I wrote before coronavirus hit. Mm-hmm. So I started writing these songs in January. I wrote in January, wrote in February. And then this song was written in February. And for whatever reason, maybe we were working on recordings at that time, but I was in a pause of writing, and then coronavirus hit, and then I really paused my writing.
We had to change everything.
Really had to figure out what was going to happen in my life. So I stopped writing until, I think I went back in April to continue writing for the record. Mm-hmm. But this song, Like Water, was the last song pre-coronavirus. And what a great thing to have had to have spent some time with, the idea of what happens when you hit an obstacle on your path, because coronavirus came along and was like a massive obstacle for all of us in some way, you know. So I'm really grateful to have had the chance to sit with this idea. And right around the time that I was coming up with the direction for this song was also when Elizabeth Warren was finishing up her run in the presidential primary. Mm-hmm. And if you've listened to this podcast, if you listen to any episodes February and prior, you know that I'm a big fan of Elizabeth Warren.
Same.
I think she's just a really principled and smart leader. Mm-hmm. I think she's got amazing ideas. I think she understands from a very compassionate and empathetic point of view what is not working in our society.
She's lived a lot of it personally.
Yeah. And for the stuff that she hasn't lived personally, she actually pays attention and listens to those who are affected.
Imagine. You know,
like her leadership on racial justice issues is amazing. And it is because she actually pays attention and listens to other people's lived experience that she hasn't lived herself. So I think she's got a really great understanding of what's broken here and also how we can fix it. Like I love her optimism, and I love her, you know, ability to see how we could do it better. There's so many things I admire about her. And, you know, in the presidential primary, I observed her experiencing obstacles that male candidates who are as smart as her never would have to face.
Sure.
And it was so frustrating to me to watch the way the media covered her. We're seeing it again now, actually, as Joe Biden is preparing to select his vice president, and he has pledged to pick a woman, right? We don't even know who his pick is yet. And already the media are like finding reasons for there to be something wrong with literally everyone on his shortlist.
Yeah, right.
And it's like, are you kidding me? Like, and that's not to say that people and candidates in general aren't criticized, but there is another layer of criticism. I mean, the latest one is that I've heard floating around is that people are all up in arms about how, well, this person that he selects for the vice presidency, she really shouldn't be too ambitious of a person, because that's a real turnoff. How often do you hear male candidates being denigrated for being too ambitious?
No, usually they're
never
praised for that.
You never hear that. No. And so it was this sort of tenor around her candidacy.
And we wonder why there's a glass ceiling.
Yeah. There was this same kind of tenor around her candidacy in February when I was writing this song. And I found myself, I was really always very interested in how she leads through different situations. Mm-hmm. And, you know, around that same time I read a few different articles that talked about just how adept she is at flowing around stuff. Like if she doesn't get the thing she's after, she figures out what the next path is to get her to what she's after. Mm-hmm. And it's not for like power seeking what she's after. What she's after is policy change. Like the things that she's going after are, you know, it's not like just self-serving, I want this position kind of seeking. It's a, no, here's what's broken. Here's what we need to do to fix it. That's what we're going to get there.
Yeah.
And so if the first path to getting to that place didn't work out, she figures out the next side door to get to the same spot. And I was just really, I was inspired by her in particular. I mean, I really should just have dedicated this song to Elizabeth Warren. But honestly—
You can do that now.
I can do that
Liz,
now.
Liz, this one's for you.
It's for you, Liz. But also, you know, this the flowing around obstacles thing is something that honestly I observe in a lot of women. We've had to learn. Women have had to learn throughout history how to get where we're going by using side doors and plan Bs all the time.
Yeah.
And it's something I observe in the lives of women that I know personally. And I certainly have observed it in people, you know, who have more of a national stage, like the Elizabeth Warrens of the world. Mm-hmm. It's something that I feel like I'm learning all the time from my women mentors. Mm-hmm. And again, this quality, this of flowing around obstacles is not something that only women possess, obviously, but I believe it is a feminine power, mm-hmm. you know? And that's really what this song is about. I learned things about the idea of flowing around obstacles when I started to look at it through the metaphor of being like water.
Love
it. Like I learned stuff as I was writing this song. I learned new ways in which this power is powerful. Mm. And so maybe we should play the song and then I can break down a couple of those additional things that came to mind as I was writing.
Sounds great.
Okay.
Like water.
Like water.
love all those little delays at the end of the song.
I love it trailing off.
So great. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Neat song. Very minimal. Very powerful.
Mm.
Minimal and powerful. So you were going to talk about some of the specific things in the song.
Yeah, you know, I think that the initial idea, we've had this sort of saying around our house for years about the idea of being like water flowing downhill, you know, like mm-hmm. the life of an artist. And really, it's not just being an artist. It's really kind of any endeavor. Like,
sure.
The, you know, it.
You can either be bullheaded or flexible.
Right. Like the idea of, you know, you want to get downhill. So when you hit an obstacle, you've got to be able to flow left or right, change
yep.
course as need be. And really, I think that it's kind of, in a sense, when we hit obstacles on the path, like that sort of this is like a, it's a, in a way, you hit the obstacle and you kind of have to reset to the beginning of the process of getting still and listening for what the next right thing is to do.
Right.
You know, like it's kind of a feedback loop, mm-hmm. you know, in a way at these moments of inflection. And so, you know, that was the starting place was like the metaphor of being like water flowing downhill, which is something that we've talked about for a lot here, a lot around just our lives and our work, you know, but also, you know, I think that, as I was thinking about water and I'm like, okay, well, that's the central metaphor, water flowing downhill. What are the things that how does it get down the hill? You know, it's surrendering to gravity, like mm-hmm. letting gravity do the work. To me, that's a metaphor for not trying to fight
yeah.
the natural forces that are, you know,
right.
that exist, but to use them to our advantage, you know, to be flexible, to be open, to understand where we are powerless. Like, mm-hmm. you know, a stream is no match for a big old boulder sitting in its path,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so a stream, if it had to just be a one-on-one match with that boulder, is going to lose, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But in recognizing that, the powerlessness to move that boulder, then you understand the power you do have. Oh, but I can flow here to the left and let gravity take me downhill
mm-hmm.
this way instead. You know, I remember right around the time that I wrote this song, I remember you had a conversation. You frequently get phone calls or messages from people who are wanting to ask you like sobriety related questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember specifically you telling me about one phone call that you had with a friend who was really struggling with the idea of acknowledging powerlessness.
Hmm.
Do you remember that conversation?
Yeah, vaguely. I mean, as much as I remember any conversation I have, which is not much.
Well, I remember it, and it informed this song because I, you know, we are, you were speaking with a woman.
By the way, I didn't mean to sound like callous about, like, it's not that I don't want to remember conversations. It's just that before I got sober, I did a lot of drugs.
Yeah.
And so, like, my memory's not amazing far as that kind of thing goes. Yeah, but maybe people who are listening, just, I don't want you to think I'm a dick.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't care about conversations he has. No, I care deeply. I wish I could remember them better than I do.
Right.
But it's just a function of things are how they are.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm glad you clarified that.
Yeah.
But you know, you were speaking with a woman and yeah, like, you know, the experience of being a woman in this culture, in this society, we look for ways to be empowered, right?
Yeah.
And that's an important thing for us to do. And I acknowledge that. But this woman was having a really hard time acknowledging her powerlessness over alcohol.
Yeah.
When she was talking with you about that, and
which, by the way, is like step one, people. So like,
it's
a precondition for getting sober. You can't get sober unless you admit that you're powerless over whatever your thing is,
right?
Alcohol or porn or, you know, bad relationships, whatever
right.
it is. You have to admit your powerlessness first; otherwise, you can't go further.
Right, right. So this is a foundational thing for recovery, and here's the power in acknowledging powerlessness. To me, to acknowledge where I am powerless allows me then to take off the table any efforts of trying to go that path.
Mm-hmm.
And it opens up my power elsewhere. Like it draws my attention to ways in which I do have power and other options available to me.
Yeah.
And so to me, there's power in recognizing where I am powerless, if that makes sense. And so the theme with the, you know, the metaphor with the water, you know, that's, you know, where that comes from. But the stuff that I feel like I was learning in this song, you know, I began to think about how the struggles that I have felt in my life, because I live in a patriarchal society as a woman, that this is not, this is the struggles that I experience, aren't really any different in substance from struggles that women going back millennia have experienced. You know, this is an historical kind of experience. Mm-hmm. You know, it's in our DNA. You know, like where it's passed down, this experience, and so it feels valuable to me to look to people in history who have overcome or who have flowed around obstacles, you mm-hmm. know, to observe those things. So that, like, just, you know, I draw strength from the fact that A, I'm not the only one, and B, this is something that women have dealt with for a long, long time, you know? Yeah. And that we're making progress all the time, you know? But as I continued like thinking about like, okay, water, we're flowing. What does it do? It came to my attention that like, you know, you and I visited the Grand Canyon, a number of years ago.
Many years ago,
we had this, we did some college shows in Arizona. And while mm-hmm. we were there, we're like, let's go see the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
And so we went to the Grand Canyon. It was my first time ever at the Grand Canyon. And holy moly, if you've ever seen the Grand Canyon, it is astonishing.
It's so big, it looks flat.
Yeah, it's just so big and so deep, and it's amazing. And it was carved by water.
Mm-hmm.
It was carved over, you know, a very long period of time
yeah.
by the incessant flowing of water in that direction and finding its way. And to me, that seemed like a really powerful metaphor for this history long march of the plight of people who face oppression in their lives, mm-hmm. people who face obstacles that are structurally there in their societies. Look at the Grand Canyon.
Yeah,
it took hundreds and hundreds, thousands and thousands of years for that.
Probably maybe hundreds of millions of years.
Yeah, thank you for putting it in perspective. Yeah.
So, hey, if you're experiencing a social injustice, just give it 100 million years.
No, that's not my point.
Oh.
My point, though, is that the persistence and the generations after generations, it matters and it does make a difference. And the soft power of flowing is something that will get us to where we're going.
Yeah.
And I felt at the end of writing this, I went into this song, right? I went into the process of writing this song so frustrated with the state of how this world treats women.
Yeah.
And I finished the process of writing this song feeling A, super proud to be a woman. And B, feeling super encouraged about the power that we do hold in our ability to flow. And so I like literally the process of writing this song was like therapy for me. Yeah. I went from like pissed off, angry to like, hell yeah, I've got power. I wasn't acknowledging and all these things that feel like obstacles. You know what? People before me have figured their way around, and I will too, and so will people who come after me. And we're just gonna make a river together. That's where I ended up.
I love it.
Great.
That's wonderful.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for listening.
Totally. Thanks for sharing. I bet a lot of people got a lot out of that.
I hope so.
So should I talk about production stuff?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, cool. So this is obviously, it's a super minimal song, right? Shannon brought me a very minimal arrangement. And largely speaking, I kept it. The only things I added are that distinctive melodic synthesizer.
The synthesizer that whenever I hear it, I'm suddenly in a seventh grade middle school dance.
I love it.
Slow dancing with somebody I'm nervous to be slow dancing with.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Like, I had the melodic line in my head, and I tried all these different sounds. Every sound I tried just sounded too small for the size of the melody.
How funny.
It's because it's kind of like an epic little melody. Yeah. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. And I didn't want to have the level of that sound be particularly high. Like, I didn't want it to, like, distract from the vocal, so the mm-hmm. sound kind of had to be epic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so that's sort of how that came about. And then I added just like a synthesizer that no one would even hear. It's just like a sustained warm tone that comes in before verse two. And now if you can go back, people, and listen for it if you're curious. I'm sure Scott will. But aside from that, there's just some things I was stoked on that I wanted to point out. Just some sound design things. I'm so proud of the kick drum sound on that song. There's only one drum sound in the entire song, people. You might notice it's a kick drum. It's a low thuddy drum. It just goes boom. Boom, boom, all the way through the song. That's all it does. Mm-hmm. And it had to, like, I had a really specific design brief for it, like, emotionally speaking. Mm. Like, I needed it to be very present, but also kind of fade into the background at the same time, right. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, I needed it to speak on small speakers. It needed to carry that rhythmic anchor, right? Because the pulse of the song is really important, but also it's not the point.
Right.
It's one of those things where the pulse is super important, but should not be foregrounded.
Yes.
And so that also then redounds sonically to all the things that would make that pulse up, you know?
Right.
Specifically in this song, the kick drum and the bass. So it was, you know, the rhythm section, right? That's what you call those instruments. Mm-hmm. And, so, you know, for both of those, it was really important to me that they not get lost on any size speaker, that you can listen to it on your phone and have the same sort of feeling of inevitability, right? That's what I wanted to get with the rhythm section. I wanted to get a feeling of inevitability, like a change is going to come kind of feeling to it.
We're going to get to the ocean.
That's right. Yeah. That's exactly it. Uh-huh. And so the two levers I had to pull on were the kick and the bass. So for the kick, just the way it ended up sitting was really pleasing to me. Like, it almost sounds, I want it to sound reminiscent of a heartbeat, but not super overtly so. But I want to have that tie back to, like, the life force.
Yeah.
You know? And so, you know, I think that got there, and that was cool. And then the bass sound hums with a reserved power, which was exactly the place where I wanted it to be, because of all the instruments, it's kind of the most, like, quote-unquote feminine of the instruments in this song, right? Because it's the thing that does the thing you're talking about the most. It's the thing that flows the most.
It's got a melody to it. So
yeah.
And
it really slips and slides around the other stuff. It gets where it's going, but not always in a straight line.
Right.
You know? Which felt to me like kind of exactly what you're talking about in this song.
Yeah.
And so I thought that I should try to make the sound be, like, sonically as much, like, of a metaphor for that as I could. And so I wanted it to be powerful, which is a thing that bass can do, you know, but I also wanted it to be tightly controlled, and I wanted its power to be palpable but not overt, if that makes sense.
Sure.
So it's got, like, this buzzing electrical feeling about it, but in a very reserved way where you can tell how powerful it is, but it never gets out of its lane, but just kind of moves around and gets done what it needs to get done without being flashing, without calling attention to itself. Because, like, when I think of powerful women, like the kind that you're talking about, they're typically not, like, out there being flashy and assholes about, like, what they're doing. Like, they tend to be subtler.
Yeah.
And just get shit done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they don't call attention to the fact they're getting shit done, because probably some man would be like, oh, hey, we gotta stop that.
That's a little too ambitious.
Right? So it was that whole, like, really, like power right at the surface, but never poking out in an overt way kind of thing. Seemed like a metaphor to me for the kind of power you're talking
about.
So I designed the bass sound to sound like that.
I love it.
Yeah. I tried to make the vocal sound as much like water as I could. And so there's this thing, like, where the vocal, like, sits pretty up front and pretty intimately there, right? But there's this thing that happens off of the vocal that goes and it's like this rippling, watery kind of effect that you hear on sustained notes and in the breaks in between syllables and stuff like that. So there's something for people to listen for. If you go back and listen again, I tried to make the vocal literally sound like water. Shannon did a really cool watery sounding thing. There's this just random synthesizer that goes through the whole song that just kind of goes here and there, but it's not on any kind of schedule or a pattern.
Nope.
It just kind of does its thing and just it fills in little random accents all the way throughout the song in the most joyous way. It really keeps it moving, keeps it off kilter, you know. But it sounds so watery and great. That's Shannon's sound design. I want you all to know that. She did a great job with that.
And the other one that sounded watery to me that I added in my demo was the one that goes
Yes, like that's right.
There's a synthesizer that just sounds, it also sounds watery, but in a different way.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, and it's funny. It's so subliminal, I forget about it.
Yeah.
You're totally right, and that's wonderful. And then just something about like how the song ended up coming together. I love, so there's this choir, right? The trio, we call it.
Uh-huh.
Like the Like Water Trio. The Like Water Trio. Like that's what we referred to it as like when we were working on the song.
It's three-part harmony. Pretty much everywhere you hear the words like water, there's two harmonies underneath it.
Yeah, two under harmonies.
Yeah.
So you have that na, na, na little melody, and that's what the melody always does, but there's unders, and the unders change depending on the context of what's happening.
The chord.
Like foundationally underneath, yeah. And the way that those end up sitting in the song, I just love, because they almost don't sit in the song. They almost sit like behind and outside the song in a way. Like they're, if you listen to them on good speakers and you're sitting exactly in that triangular space between them. By the way, people, if you don't know this, if you want to get the best sound out of listening to speakers, put your head in a triangle with the left speaker and the right speaker.
Yeah.
That's the best way. So if you do that on some good speakers, you'll notice that they sit outside the stereo field to the left and to the right. And like they also sit above the mix, like vertically.
So like to describe this to people, I mean, you're using your hands to describe this so they can't see this. Mm. But basically like if you're sitting in front of two speakers in that triangle and you close your eyes, it sounds like these two vocals are coming from like the sides of you.
Like outside the
like
speakers.
Like not where the speakers are, but it sounds like the voices are coming from somewhere the speakers are not.
Yeah.
Yeah. If that makes sense.
It's like, I've learned some stuff about psychoacoustics. There's some tricks. There's some ways that you can play sounds outside of the speakers. And there's also ways with audio that you can play sounds like up and down and front and back too. Like you can make all those things happen. So you can really work in a three-dimensional space with audio.
Right.
It's not just a flat left to right panorama between the left speaker and the right speaker.
Yeah.
There's a lot more that you can do.
So the trio is kind of sitting outside.
Yeah, and the reason I wanted to do that is because it reminded me like the function that those vocals have structurally in the song. They almost reminded me of like in old plays, like that you might study like in high school English. They reminded me of a Greek chorus.
Yeah, uh-huh.
You know, like in the way that they keep returning to the theme, like grounding you back in the theme, right? Because that's what the Greek chorus does. They like ground you back in the theme.
Yeah.
Like, and then you go off to another exploration and you get grounded back in it.
Exactly.
And it felt like that to me. So I tried to make it sonically be like what my little weird interpretation of that would be.
Not weird at all. That's how I thought. That's how I conceived of him when I wrote the part,
too.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Cool. So that's it as far as production stuff
goes. Do we get to do misheard lyrics
now? We can do misheard lyrics.
Okay, great. This is exciting.
So I actually have queued up the part of the song these all occur in. I'm just going to play and pause and stop, and I'll talk you all through them. So here's the deal. So I'll tell you what the actual lyric is, and then I'll tell you what I heard it as being, and then I'll play it for you, and you'll be like, damn, he's right. That's how this is going to go down. So these all happen in the sort of outro part of the song.
Like the bridge, the out.
It's a bridge
coda?
To nowhere. The coda.
It's a coda.
If it's a bridge to nowhere, it's a coda. Yeah. It's the Sarah Palin part of the song.
Oh, gosh, no.
Oh, Christ. So edit
that out.
Yeah, jeez. Terrible. No mention of her cursed name on this podcast. So we'll start around 2 minutes, and so by the way, this is the "we'll get to the ocean" part. It's before that.
Yeah, it's in like this. There's like there's two choruses.
Yeah,
yeah.
It starts in like the second part of the chorus of the second chorus,
the
and then
chorus.
Moves to the coda.
Okay, yeah.
And that's kind of what we're bridging here. And so the first one in that second part of the second chorus, Shannon says. Allegedly. What she says here in her printed lyrics is, like water, dance through the boulders that
lie in the path.
Oh, hold on. That's not where it is. It's okay. Like water. We're carving canyons through rock, shaping history. That's allegedly what Shannon said. Uh-huh. And, you know, her talk about the Grand Canyon would seem to bolster that argument. However, if you listen to it, you'll clearly hear that actually what she says is, like water, what kind of can used a rock shaping history? Right? It's what kind of can used a rock shaping history? And
it.
I was just like, this doesn't make much sense, but that's clearly what she says. So here, let's go to the tape. Like what kind of can used a rock shaping history? You clearly said it. Uh-huh. We all just heard it.
Sure.
Everybody on the podcast just heard it, and they're like, damn, that's true. Okay, so then moving on directly from there, the next thing that allegedly you say is, like water, drawing new maps with the soft power of flowing. And that's a lovely sentiment, but that's not what you say. What you actually say is, like water, trying to mess with the soft power of flowing.
Trying to mess.
Which again, doesn't make, it makes less nonsense. It makes more sense than the previous thing. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
But maybe we put them together. Yeah, it makes more sense.
It's a metaphor that's beyond my grasp. I'm not sure. But anyway, let's have a listen, people. It's like water trying to mess with the soft power of flowing.
Oh my gosh. Like water trying to mess with the soft power of flowing. You guys, you just gave me this look like, see?
I did. I kind of like did a little shrug, like with some humility, because I didn't, it's so obvious what she's saying there that I didn't want to be the person like browbeating her about it. You know what I mean? And I kind of looked at her like, and she's like, yeah, that's true.
That second part didn't happen.
Actually, that's true. That second part didn't happen. So, so then we get to the ocean part of the song. So Shannon starts off, and the printed lyrics say, we'll get to the ocean. We'll get to the waves. We'll go where we're going. Damn these barricades. Again, beautiful sentiment. But what I heard for that last part was, we'll go where we're going. Damn these bear caves.
Bear caves.
Bear caves. And like, that actually kind of makes sense to me because like bear, like I grew up in rural Vermont and we had just woods behind our house.
That, like, bears, probably.
Well, there was a cave that my sister and I, like, we explored every inch of those woods. I mean, hundreds of acres.
Yeah.
And there was this cave that we were sure a bear lived in.
Uh-huh.
In retrospect, it probably wasn't deep enough because it was only about 4 feet deep. Uh-huh. But when you're, like, 5 years old...
There's definitely bears.
There's bears.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Down those bear caves.
Yeah, seriously. Like, I understand, like, the scariness that bear caves might pose. And so I related to this lyric.
I see.
Yeah.
So anyway,
so we'll listen, people. So it's, we'll get to the ocean, we'll get to the waves, we'll go where we're going, damn these bear caves.
These bear caves.
Bear
caves. What are we going to do with them?
I know.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
Damn them.
Yeah. So I'm glad that you talked about that. I don't think enough people are talking about that. So the next one is absolutely my favorite one. So what it says in the printed lyrics is, my sisters were moving, carried on the strength of being fluid. That's a lovely sentiment, again. But what it clearly says is, my sisters were moving, carrot on the string. And I'm not 100% sure what carrot on the string
carrot
means.
Carrot on the string. How does the sentence resolve?
It's not even important. We're focused on this lyric,
carrot
right?
On the
carrot
string.
On the string. And what I think about is like when you have a donkey that you want to do something, and so you tie a stick across its back with a carrot on a string in front of it to keep it moving forward.
Yeah, motivation.
That's what I'm thinking. It's motivation. It's a motivation to keep away from the bear caves or something, I guess.
Okay, yeah, maybe.
So we'll listen to that now. So it's my sisters were moving, carrot on the string.
My sisters were moving, carried on the string.
Right? Even Shannon at this point is like, damn, I think I sang carrot on the string. It's hard to ignore when you hear it with your own two ears. You know what I mean? It's like, who are you going to trust? Like me or your lion eyes, right?
Your lion ears.
Your lion ears. Who are you going to trust, me or your lion ears?
So, amazing. Yeah. Is that the last one?
That's it. Because, I mean, there's only one more lyric that says, we'll get to the waves.
You know, that's impressive. That's some impressive mishearing of lyrics.
Thank you. Yeah.
Very fun. I want you to know that every once in a while, Jamie around the house will just be like, carrot on the string.
Yeah. Or if something isn't going right, like working on the deck, I'll be like, damn these bear caves.
It is good to laugh. I really needed that.
I know.
Thank you for mishearing those lyrics so that I could have this laugh.
It's my pleasure. Yeah, happy to do it. All right, people. So thank you for spending this time with us. We hope you enjoyed the silliness. We need the silliness. We hope you need the silliness, too.
Yeah.
If you want to support the silliness financially, please go to misfitstars.com/join. We'll invite you to the Misfit Stars private Facebook group. It's wonderful in there. It's very earnest. You'll enjoy it.
Thank you so much for spending some time with us today. We'll be back again next week with more goodness. Mm-hmm. Who knows what the next week will bring.
I hope it's not too bad.
Yeah. But we'll be here to talk about it no matter what it is. I feel like Mr. Rogers right now.
Yeah. Janice putting on her cardigan.
I'll be back when the day is through.
Do you know the whole song?
And I'll have more ideas for you. And you'll have things you'll want to talk about. Oh. I will too.
Aww.
Zip up the cardigan, close the door, see you later.
Do you know that Mr. Rogers wrote all his own songs?
I do. Mm-hmm. What an amazing guy.
Yep.
Y'all, thank you for hanging out. We'll see you next week.
Can't wait. Love you guys very much.
Be good to yourselves. Talk to you later.
See ya.
Bye.